We continue our learning the Nishmas Dovid ben Menachem b'Shem Kam Yaakov b'Pitchos Deliya. We are in Kalim. Perek Hafei Mishnah Ches. Now, in the previous Mishnah, we concluded with Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Let's remind ourselves what the previous Mishnah was speaking about. We had the concept of the base tzviya, which is where you have a kli and there are indentations for a person to put his hands in. There are hand grips in order to move the kli around to pick up the kli. They're not an ozen of a yad or an ozen that are sticking out of the kli. They're the indentations within the kli, but you're able to hold it. The Mishnah had said that there's a din of base tzviya, which is that the base tzviya has a different status than the rest of the kli. If the base tzviya becomes tamei, the outside of the kli is not tamei. The outside of the kli becomes tamei. The base tzviya does not become tamei. But then the Mishnah says that halacha, that kula, the leniency we have when it comes to the base tzviya, only applies where I'm not going to be worried that you may be moving your hands out of the grip to hold, to touch the exterior part of the kli. But, and Rabbi Tarfon gave the example of an areva gedola shalait, a very large trough made out of wood. We know because it's very heavy and very large, if a person's picking it up, no doubt your hands are not holding any part of the kli except that base tzviya. So therefore, we don't have to worry about tumah being moved one place, or mashkim being a tameh being moved one place to the other. But let's say you have a smaller kli, you have to be concerned. And then Mishnah said, what about the status of your hands? Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that kula, that leniency applies even if you have tameh hands. Even if your hands are tameh, we assume your hands are staying in the base tzviya, and we don't have to worry about you moving your hands one place to the other. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, that was all regarding yadayim tahoros. If a person has tameh hands, then if you're touching that base tzviya, the hand grip section, maybe you have to be worried you touch the rest of the kli and you made a tumah. Your hands were a secondary level of tumah, and maybe you touched mashkim and that mashkim became a rishon and now is mitame the other part of the kli. So that's what the Mishnah is explaining here. Ketzad. What does it mean? What the kula that we said when it comes to only tahor hands that Rabbi Yossi had mentioned? Hayu yad of tahoros va'achari hakos tameim. So we're taking an example of a cup. Your hands are tahor, and the outside of the cup, the exterior part of the cup, is tameh. So if a person is not touching the outside of the coast, he's touching the base tzviya. There's a grip, there's an indentation where you can pick up the cup without having to hold the outside of the cup. We speak about a cup, let's say a kiddush cup. So you may, the whole outside of the is tameh from mashkim, let's say. Okay, but I'm touching the stem. I'm touching the bottom. People make kiddush holding the bottom of the cup, let's say. So says the Mishnah, assuming your hands are a tahor, and the acharei, the outside, the exterior part of the cup of tameim, achazo beveis tzviyaso, if you're holding it in the base tzviya, that indentation section, eino choshesh shema nitmu yadav ba'acharei akos, we're not afraid that your hands became tameh by touching the outside of the coast. The outside of the coast is tameh. Your hands become tameh from that. So the Mishnah then continues and says, Hayashose bekos she'acharov tameim, eino choshesh shema nitma hamashke shebefiv ba'achore hakos v'chazav etimi hakos. Or another possibility. Let's say you're drinking from the cup. So first, we're just talking about touching the cup. If I'm touching the cup in the base tzviya, in those indentations, that hand grip section, I don't have to worry that my hands became tameh from the outside of the cup, even though the outside of the cup is tameh. And let's say I'm drinking a cup where the exterior part of the cup is tameh, I don't have to be worried that maybe nitma hamashke shebefiv, the mashke, the liquid that I have in my mouth, became tameh. Well, how'd that happen? Well, what happens is the liquid at the outside, if I'm drinking a cup, maybe the liquid is on the inside of the cup. The inside of the cup is tahor, but the outside of the cup is tameh. So maybe when I'm drinking, the liquid in the mouth became tameh by the outside of the cup, because I have part of that in my mouth as well, and that liquid makes the inside of the cup tameh. So maybe I should worry. The liquid went into the mouth, that I went into the mouth, touched the outside of the kli, the cup that I'm drinking, and became tameh. Now that tameh liquid came, then dripped from his mouth, in my mouth, into the cup, and out of the cup, and then the cup becomes tummy. You don't have to worry about that. You can assume that the inside of the cup is going to remain tahor. Kumkum, or another example. Kumkum shehu martiach. If I have a kettle, the outside is tamei because it became tamei from a tamei liquid. It's all the rabbana. And the kumkus marsiach, so it's boiling. Eido chosheish, what happens? It's boiling, so now there's boiling water coming out. Eido chosheish, you don't have to worry, shema yatsu mashkin mitolcho, maybe mashke came out of the kumkum, the inside was fine. But since some boiled out, maybe it came boiled out, v'nagu b'achorav, and now touch the outside, the exterior part of the kumkum, which we said was tamei midurabanam, from tamei liquids, v'chosu l'tzochon, maybe went inside. So all of these are examples of where we say we don't have to worry at all about tumah midrabanan being transferred from one place to the other. The first example was the example of Rabbi Yossi. Assuming your hands are tor and the outer side of the kos is tameh, and you're holding the base tzviya section, you don't have to worry that your hands became tameh from the outside of the kos and transferred tumah. Because where are your hands? Your hands are in the base tzviya. That all applies, Rabbi says, to when your hands are tor. If your hands are tameh, then we have to be concerned. And Rabbi Meir says you don't have to be concerned at all. Perech hafei mishnah tes. Klei HaKodesh, Elohem Achorayim Vatoch, Ve'elohem Beis Tzviya. Here we have a chumah that applies to kelim that are used for karbanos. Let's say meat of karbanos. So we have to treat those with a greater chumrah, and that's why the din of achorayim v'toch doesn't apply. Now, what does it mean? So once again, we've said many times, on a daraisa level, once the outside or the inside becomes tamei, the whole kli is tamei. But now we're speaking about mashkim tamei, which are only mitamei the kut midarabanan. So says the Mishnah here that although when it comes to other kelim, if the outside becomes tamei, the inside is not tamei. That is not true when it comes to a kli that is a kodesh kli that's used for, let's say, flour, or used for karbanos, or used for wine on the Mizbeach. So these are clay kodesh. There's no din of achorayim v'toch. That means once the outside becomes tamei, the whole kli is going to become tamei. Ve'en lohem beis tzvias. Also, that halacha that we said, oh, the grip, that indentation where you put your fingers, oh, if that's tamei, the rest of the kli doesn't become tamei, and if the exterior is tamei, that doesn't become tamei. That's all when it comes to a regular kli. But clay kodesh, so once tamei liquid touches that beis tzvia section, the whole kli becomes tamei. Then the Mishnah says, another halacha that applies when it comes to kelim that are used for kodesh, vein madbilim kelim besoch kelim lekodesh. A person who wants to put the kelim into the mikvah. So when it comes to other kelim, you're allowed to put one kli inside of the other and put them together. I don't have to worry that maybe there's going to be a chatzitza. It's going to press very. The water's not going to get in between the kelim. You don't have to worry about that when it comes to regular kelim. When it comes to kelim of kodesh, ein matbilim kelim besoch kelim lakodesh. That you have to person put them in the mikvah, immerse them separately, because we're afraid we have to be more strict about the possibility of a chatzitza, of an interposition, the fact that the water will not get in. Then the Mishnah says a general rule. Kol HaKelim, which we've discussed over the several prakim, kol HaKelim, many prakim, kol HaKelim yordin lidei tumasan b'machshava, ve'ein an olim lidei tumasan ela b'shinui maaseh. Very, very important principle when it comes to tumah of Kelim. And that is, Kelim literally go down to their tumah. It's easier, let's make it a good piece of muster as well. It's easier to become tameh than it is to become tahor. That's the bottom line. So kelim are able to become tameh, which means susceptible to tumah, through simple machshava alone. But once they have the status of a kli that's mekabel tumah, in order for them to lose that status, machshava is not going to help. You need a shinui maaseh, you need an action. So the Bar Tanur gives you an example. Kagon tabas behema. You have a ring that's used for an animal. Shein mekabel tumah, that's not a kli, that's mekabel tumah, because it's for an animal. Chashav ole litna be'etzba adam. Once you have the thought, the intent, to use it now as a kli, as a ring for a human being, that machshava alone, it's mekabel tumah. Mikanda elech machshavazu. This machshava, this intent alone, is sufficient sufficient now to give it the status of a kli that's mekabel tuma by the fact that you're thinking now I'm going to use it on a human being's hand. Aval tabas adam, but if you have a tabas, a ring of a human being, which we know it's mekabel tuma, and now you want to change your status to be a tabas of a behema. Shachashav alei litna lebehema, I'm going to use it for an animal. La'olam mekabel tuma, it remains susceptible to tuma, even though you had a machshava to use it for an animal. Until you actually change its form. Once you do a maisa to it, you change its form physically, so then it can lose its status of tuma. As the Mishnah tells you, a maisa, changing the form of a kli has the ability to nullify a previous maisa, and certainly your previous machshava, previous intent, but umachshava, but a machshava alone, intent, cannot nullify another maase, and it can't even nullify another machshava. And as the Bartanur explains, in la'achar shechash ala tabas behema la'asosa la'odam, if you add a machshava on this tabas of a behema to use it for a human being, we said that machshava alone now makes it susceptible to tumah, right? As we said, easier to become tame than become tohu. So once that machshava happened, chazav chashav alei lachzul behema, I now have a machshava to bring it back. Not that machshava is not going to help. Even though the machshava worked to make it susceptible to tumah, machshava now to use it for a behema doesn't help. And certainly a machshava cannot, kavachomer, would not be able to uproot, to nullify a maase that you had in making it into a kli. A machshava alone certainly would not be able to uproot it from that status to make it a kli that's not makabel tuma.